listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's a big question day, which means we're going to make some drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this one's not about whether pineapple goes on pizza.
No, it's not. That was a fun day.
It was really fun.
We should do another although that one, people get mad about that. But anyway, this is not about pizza. This is about something that maybe goes along with eating pizza on some. Often. I don't know. Erin, what are we doing?
So I decided it was time. I've never done a big question. So I wanted to wait till I had something that occurred to me that I was like, I have an opinion on it and decided that this was the time. So my question is, Dungeons and Dragons actually great?
Oh boy, we're going to make some people mad today.
That is the question.
I love
for
this
us
already.
Today.
D&D, let's go.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
lay out some background and opinion, but then I definitely want you guys to chime in and share your thoughts and experiences or inexperiences, whatever. I wanna hear from you as well. So,
okay.
So, when I was growing up, I never played Dungeons and Dragons. I do remember hearing about it. It was usually in the context. Well, I grew up in the 80s, right? And so the Dungeons and Dragons that I remember hearing about growing up was really, it was an entrance to the danger zone is what it was. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was usually classed in the same sort of, this is just my own one person's perception of it. But anyway, I viewed it as in the same realm as like death metal and cigarettes.
Okay? I love that category.
They all three, Dungeons and Dragons, death metal, and cigarettes are gateways to advance along the primrose path to perdition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are starting down. Yeah, that's what's happening with it.
And on top of it, you were probably a nerd. Like, MTV might be the primrose path cool kids, but D&D was the primrose path for the uncool kids. So that was like doubly bad.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. All that said, though, that was my perception. I had no experience with it. None of my friends played it. So I had no personal opinion having tried it and been like, oh, yeah, this is definitely great. Or, wow, this is actually super scary or whatever. So that was just my starting point that I tell you about. So then in 2016, we saw the arrival of Stranger Things. The television phenomenon.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
And Gen X finally got the milestone where their childhood was going to become nostalgic in pop culture. And so they plugged everything into Stranger Things. So all of the stuff. So I heard lots of friends. They were like, ooh, Stranger Things. Very obsessive. And it turns out D&D featured in Stranger Things.
Okay.
Yes,
this was
a plot point. So it is still definitely that it's not being played by the cool kids. So that part remains true to history. However, even though it was not being played by the cool kids, it was cool because it was nostalgic.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yes. So another point, D&D never actually went away.
No.
So it rose to prominence in people's awareness in 2016 because of Stranger Things. However, it rose to prominence in people's minds who had not had any connection to it. It never went away. It had been, it's been going strong since the 70s when it started.
Is that when it started?
It started in the 70s.
And
it's just trucked along, and it's never gone away.
No.
So it just got a lot of exposure because of this television show. I will say, though, that is not what drew me to it, because I found Stranger Things to be very stressful. I did not care for this television show. I think I watched like half a season of it, and then I was like, no, it's too scary for me. I don't like TV shows that stress me out, yeah. because they're like, some people enjoy that. I don't. Mm-mm. I don't. And so I gave it up, and I was like, oh, well, the 80s. So I didn't think they were as great as everyone else seems to. So, and I moved along. Okay. But 1 year ago, almost exactly, actually, because we're recording this here in August.
Yeah.
1 year ago, a friend of mine invited me to try playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
And I was like, I did a fair bit of like rehashing of what I've just said, mm-hmm. in like, you know, super fast time in your brain. But like, anyway, I was like, well, you know, I haven't ever done it. And I like this friend. So yeah, I'll give it a try. Mm-hmm. So a year ago, I gave it a try. Uh-huh. And I ended up deciding that I liked it. It wasn't as quick as that, though, because I had never played a game like this before. And it took me. Honestly, it took me several months to be sure. Did I actually like the game? Or not? Because I was like, I know I like spending time with these people. Mm-hmm. So am I actually just being fooled because I like spending time with them, but I don't actually like the game? Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure. I did not immediately take to it. Some people take to it immediately. I had a harder time to like, I'm like, but what are we trying to do?
Yeah.
Like, what are we trying to... What are we trying to accomplish? How
defeat
do I
defeat the bad guy? Duh.
I but it wasn't always clear like what that goal was. Okay, so for those of you who are listening who have no idea what Dungeons and Dragons is, let me give you a brief explanation from my perception of what it is, as somebody who has not grown up playing it. It's a role-playing collaborative storytelling game. Okay. Every person, except for one, so we'll come back to that one, but every person in the game creates a character that they're going to play. And the character has certain abilities and strengths and weaknesses and skills and goals. And sometimes the character has some like history, like you're like, ooh, I'm going to say that they have, you know, their mom was great, but she died early, or
they're always orphans. Why is this?
Yeah.
Got to have a tragic backstory.
Yeah. So everybody has a character, and then all together, this group, each of your characters together, they all together form a party. And then one person who doesn't form their own character, they are the dungeon master. Mm-hmm. Okay. They set the overarching plot of the game. They are going to be like, here's the concept. And they're like, here's the world we're in. And here's sort of like your big goal. They also play all of the people, like all the extras in the movie. Mm. So you've got your main characters and then you've got all of the extras. That one person plays all of the extras. They play all the minor roles. They play the villain and or villains. They play all of the just walk-on roles that appear once and never again.
The random guy selling cabbages by the side of the road.
Yeah,
that would be a non-player character.
Animals,
an NPC.
Any person or creature that you're going to interact with that isn't one of the other characters in your party, that's the dungeon master. They're going to do all of that. So the dungeon master is going to lay out this basic story, and they're going to describe the setting, and they're going to dangle some plot hooks in front of the party, and like, oh, you see a strange looking man. He's got his face covered up, and he's like, but he keeps staring at you, and you're like, oh. And so then, but he's not going to force you to do anything. So the dungeon master is just going to be like, here's some things you might want to, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to know more about? Where do you want to go with this? And so then your group gets to decide. They're like, oh, let's go ask a question of this man in the hooded cloak and see why he keeps staring at us. Or you're like, I don't want to go talk to him. I want to go over here to this other thing and I want to see what's happening with that. And so the dungeon master just lays out some possibilities. And then from there, the group is going to explore things and they're going to ask questions and they're going to be like, I want to try and do this thing because I have a special skill that lets me do it. How do you know if you succeed? You roll some special dice. There's so many dice involved.
Did you just roll dice, Rachel?
Yes. Perfect sound effect for this, but that's a live action sound effect. It's not.
So many dice
come in. She has her bag. Yes.
More from me later.
To find out if you succeed or not, you roll dice. And that's, so you're like, but I'm really good at this skill. So you get a bonus to what you roll.
Yeah, but it introduces that important element of chance.
Exactly, because even if you're really good,
everybody has a bad day.
Feel exactly, and yeah, or you could just knock it out of the park. So anyway, you sort of roll and you ask questions, and the story just sort of grows organically from there. The dungeon master doesn't actually get to decide. Here's exactly what you're gonna do because he doesn't know what your characters are going to do, and he doesn't know if they're going to succeed at things. So I keep saying he because the guy that plays the dungeon master in my group is a he, so that's why I keep using it. Doesn't have to be a man.
It doesn't, but let's be honest, it often is.
Yeah. Okay. It usually is, but doesn't have to be. And so these stories, they could last for a single session. Those are called a one-shot. So you could do a game that's a single session, you're done. You've done the whole story and you're finished. It could also last for years.
Rachel has a story about that.
Anything in between. That is the basic concept of the game. Is it, getting back to where I started though, is it inherently evil? No. Do some groups play in a very risque fashion? Yes. And do you have friends in your life who don't share your same values? Probably. And if so, then maybe you use some judgment about what you want to do in what sort of games you want to play with that group of people and use some good judgment there in making some of those decisions. So yeah, some people might also say, but it's just a game. And so it's not that big of a deal, but fiction is true. We know fiction is true.
Yeah.
It's not fair to just say, oh, it's just make-believe. So it doesn't count. You can pretend to be a horrible, horrible person and that's not good for anyone's, you know, their soul. So don't do things like that to yourself. But you can also be upfront and just be like, hey, let's put these boundaries in place. I don't want to play a game where that sort of stuff is gonna happen. And then the group can just be like, yeah, okay, no problem. We're not gonna do that. Or if they're like, but we want to do that, they're like, well, maybe I don't want to, this isn't maybe the right group for me to do this particular thing. So you have to use judgment on that and put some boundaries in place.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like That kind of goes for more than just D&D, right?
This is life.
Like, there's certain games that
in how you socialize.
They can involve topics and things that are just absolutely probably, what does it set your mind on things above? Like,
yes,
right,
yeah.
That line is in place for a lot more than just D&D.
Even Scrabble can get raunchy.
Oh, right. You can make any game inappropriate if you try hard enough. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You can be inappropriate if you really want to, or not inappropriate if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I feel like I ended up deciding, it did take me months to decide that I not only enjoyed spending this time with this group of friends, but I did actually also enjoy the game.
Okay.
So I have come down on the side of Dungeons and Dragons is actually great. But what experience do you guys have with D&D? Do you have any experience? Hmm. Tell me about it. Rachel already rolled dice, so we know she. Nobody knows any dice. Yeah,
Sarah, tell us your story. Mine might take a little while.
yeah, Sarah.
Okay, so I am not Gen X. This was not part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. However, my husband is Gen X, and it was part of his childhood. He also has bags of dice and other things, and has played extensively. So what I know of it, I know from him. I have not played. I have wanted to try for a while. It's just because of, like, it takes some investment of time for a group of people. And so far, in at least my married life, that's been really hard to do. Mm. we just haven't really made it happen. I want to try it. My husband loves it. He's going to correct me if I say this wrong when I go back and edit this episode and he listens to it. He's going to be like, Sarah, that's not right. I think he's played Dungeon Master. He will say that the quality of the game really depends on, like, the imagination of the Dungeon Master. Like, the Dungeon Master can really make or break the game for you depending on how good they are at painting that picture of a story. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what he tells me. I am familiar with, like, those chaotic good, chaotic evil. Mm. It took me a long time to understand that was coming from D&D. So, yeah. Like, I get that. So I get the cultural references to D&D. Mm-hmm. But I have never played it. I want to play it. I think my hang-up is just the style of play. The whole, like, role-playing kind of that. When it's explained to me, it doesn't sound like something I would enjoy. I like structure. I like knowing where the game is supposed to go. And so, like, the kind of freeform nature of it is just kind of like, nah, I don't know if I'd enjoy it.
It's really hard to win D&D.
And see, the winning part, I don't know if that would really...
I like to win.
I don't know, but I like strategy games. So, like, maybe I'd enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But you can win. So if you are someone who enjoys that, where you're like, I want to be able to see that, yes, I accomplished this, that's where battles are very helpful, because you can win a fight.
Yeah.
You can win a battle. And so you can intersperse those.
Yeah. And we have groups of friends that play, and they tell me it's super fun. So, like, I'd probably enjoy it. I imagine I would have a similar story to yours, where, like, I like just spending time with the people that we would play with, and I would eventually enjoy the game. So that the whole, just the style of the game is, like, not super enticing to me. But my husband, you know, when you get married, you just have influence on each other. I have come to love fantasy, like that kind of the actual, like, stories with magic and dragons and things, just because of the allegories that you can connect to life. And, like, you just understand real stuff in a different way when you can understand and just enjoy fantasy things. I did not grow up with fantasy at all in my household. It was the 90s where anything fantasy was evil, and D&D would fall into that too. Yep. Yep. So, like, I didn't grow up with any of that. And I came into that as an adult with, like, getting more into Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and stuff, and just enjoying the fantasy world more now. So that part sounds fun. So I would like at some point to actually try it. I think it would be fun. I also don't think it's inherently evil.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Rachel,
So
buckle up. It's time for Rachel's story.
I think you actually have the most experience of all of us.
I do. I actually started playing in college.
Okay.
Which was half a lifetime ago at this point.
Yeah.
And I did it to hang out with friends. That's all. Honestly, and I don't actually play anymore. It's not because I disapprove of the game. It's just that I can't sit still for that long.
Yeah.
Like when you've been at a gaming session that literally goes until 2 or 3 in the morning, that's a lot of sitting.
Ugh.
And I don't, at the time I was so excited that I didn't notice it as much. But now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't like to sit for that long.
Yeah.
So, but we played D&D, but we also played other role-playing games. One memorable Star Wars-themed role-playing game, I played a Wookiee.
Oh.
That one was very memorable.
Uh-huh.
So you can take these role-playing games in many different directions. The basic rules apply. Using, creating a character, using dice to introduce the element of chance when you want to do something. I want to try to throw a spear at this guy's head. Do I hit it or not? Well, how's your aim feeling? In real life, it would be like a, 50-50 chance whether I get it anywhere near. My aim's not that great. So the dice sort of answer that question. Yeah. Are you feeling lucky? So another reason I don't play that much anymore is because math. There's a lot of math in D&D.
Right. That was the other part that I was like,
than I expected. But
there's a lot of math, a lot of like detailed rules. Like if you can just play it so that you're basically just all telling a story together, which is, if I'm going to play, that's how I prefer. You can play it without dice, actually. My husband once led a game where instead of dice, he flipped a coin, just to sort of take the math out of it and make it more about storytelling. And that, when it's played with an emphasis on characters, on story, on friends coming together to use their imaginations and solve problems and go on adventures, then I think it can be a really positive thing. I know it has been in my husband's life. He continues to play. And actually, as a chaplain, playing with junior sailors has been a wonderful way to establish rapport.
He
stayed in touch with the ship's doctor, went from his last deployment, who lives in our area, now an anesthesiologist. And so he goes over to that friend's house every once in a while. He's like, honey, can I go on Friday and play at Tom's house? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. So like if a chaplain and an anesthesiologist can enjoy it, I think it's gone mainstream at that point.
Yeah.
But like what you said, Aaron, it really is only as good a game as the imaginations of the people who play it, both in the quality of how creative they can be, but also in how pure their hearts are.
Yeah.
Because anyone who has played for any length of time will tell you horror stories. And I've got one or two, I will not share them here, where you realize real quickly what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are obviously, role-playing, doing and thinking and being some pretty awful things.
Right.
Yeah.
So the reputation and like stereotypes, there's always a kernel of truth. And in this case, there is. And I'm reminded here of what Christ says in the book of Matthew 15th chapter. He says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. And then later on, he says, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. And if you have played with the wrong group of people, everything on that list will come out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't want that.
No, you don't. But I will say, it has nonetheless been a great gift, especially to my kids. Because my husband and my kids, they play together.
Yeah.
They tell stories together.
Yeah.
And we actually hosted during our last year in Connecticut, we hosted a weekly Friday night D&D meetup for my kids' friends. All of them were either from our Christian homeschool co-op or my son's Trail Life troop.
Mm, yeah.
So it was a very wholesome group of people, and I watched those friendships deepen. Mm-hmm. I watched my son, who was the dungeon master and is still beloved by all of those kids, develop his leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a really great mind for all the minutiae of the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so he was able to be one of those, you know, dungeon masters who is very good at creating a satisfying storytelling experience for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was amazing to me to watch these kids grow in their friendships and their creativity, in my son's leadership ability. My job was to monitor things from a distance and feed them. Much cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it will be, especially for my son, probably one of the most precious memories from his teenage years was leading that campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he wrapped it up really neatly, like 2 weeks before we had to move. It was his graduation party / farewell. And we actually had that one catered. It was, he wanted falafel.
Party.
So we had falafel. And they beat the big bad at the end. And then I put on the song from the Dora movie soundtrack, "Oh Hooray, We Did It." And it was
amazing.
It was a really, really precious, precious memory in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, can it be evil? Absolutely it can. Mm-hmm. When you get, you know, 5 or 8 or 10 people around a table, mm-hmm. and they are letting the deepest, darkest parts of their imaginations loose.
And you start feeding off of each other with that.
Right, yeah.
Don't eat that. Yeah.
Yeah. But if the group of people you play with are all people with baptized imaginations,
mm-hmm.
and who are holding each other accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Even my youngest, the dice bag I have here was crocheted by my middle daughter and belongs to my youngest daughter and is something that she cherishes being part of the party.
Yeah.
She always usually plays a cute orphan waif.
Mm-hmm.
All of their kids, after a while, the characters all sort of are the same for each. Oh, you're playing a rogue again. Uh-huh. Yeah. But for anyone who's enjoyed, like my husband and I, we bonded over the works of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Mm.
Anyone who's enjoyed that high fantasy and said, mm-hmm. oh, I wish I could go with Frodo on a quest to Mount Doom.
Yeah.
Well, Dungeons & Dragons offers a way to sort of kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to be careful. And we do have house rules. When mm-hmm. the kids wanted to start hosting D&D, knowing, you know, that within our conservative Christian homeschool community, there would be some parents that I'd have to explain it to why mm-hmm. why my kids were enticing theirs down the primrose path.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was very motivated I was very motivated to examine the game carefully and say, is there anything inherently in this that I need to caution my kids about? Mm-hmm. And so we made up a few house rules. We have 3 house rules and 1 overarching house rule. And the overarching house rule is what I've already said. Only play with people you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That understand that it can get dark. It can get evil. So make sure that the people you're playing with are people whose imaginations you trust to be holy, wholesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not holy in the sense of perfect, but holy in the sense of set apart from all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 3 house rules that we have that keep everybody in line. 1, for obvious reasons, everyone plays their own gender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You do not imagine that you are something that you are not.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number 2, nobody gets to play an evil alignment. So Sarah, you had mentioned the alignment. And so this is a way of understanding your character's sort of moral fiber.
Yeah.
Everything from lawful good, which is considered to be the uber nerd. Totally boring. I think they're really fun to play, though.
Of course you would.
That tracks so much.
you've got lawful good, you've got neutral good, you've got chaotic good, and then you go down to neutral, true neutral,
mm-hmm.
someone who just doesn't care. And then all the way down to the very bottom right corner is the bottom row is all evil alignments.
Right.
And the bottom right is the worst of all, chaotic evil. This is your psychopath. And I have always said, you may not play evil characters in my house.
Yeah.
And Dungeon Master, if a character starts behaving in a way that you feel like you have to switch their alignment to evil because they're making bad choices, you, Dungeon Master, now have the responsibility to make sure that that character dies in an interesting way.
Oh, okay. Dies. Okay.
And then they have to start, if they want to rejoin the party, they have to create a new character who is less evil.
Yeah. They get consequences for their evil choices.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we have, everyone plays their own gender. There are no evil alignments. And the last one is one of the actual dangers of D&D. Is that it is very imbued with paganism.
Mm.
That there are, in the classic version of the game and in many of the sort of prepackaged storylines, there are like clerics and disciples of pagan gods.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not all about that because imagined idolatry is still idolatry.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of a house rule, is that you are to absolutely 100% minimize any whiffs of pagan idolatry in your games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is actually the hardest rule to follow because it is sort of woven into so many elements of the game that so many of the sort of magical elements are rooted in pagan idolatry.
Mm. Mm.
But it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
It can be de-emphasized, minimized, shoved off into the corner, and that the game is still fun without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had all sorts of manifestations of Dungeons and Dragons. I mentioned the Star Wars thing. We've had steampunk. We've had space. They've been in space.
Yeah. We're doing a summer one this summer, which is summer camp.
Summer camp.
We took a break from our main one, which is more classic fantasy. Uh-huh. And we're in upstate New York.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Summer
camp.
My nephew led a campaign once that was Pokemon themed.
Uh-huh.
So basically, whatever sort of fantasy world my daughter, all of my kids, by the way, have taken a turn at being a dungeon master.
Okay.
The youngest one is still growing into that. It's kind of entertaining to see her try. But she loves it.
Mm-hmm.
They did a sort of Harry Potter themed one. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So any fantasy world or setting that you can think of can be adapted into a role-playing campaign. So, yeah, I have mixed feelings. I don't think it is a very complicated question, Aaron. Kudos to you for coming up with a real stumper. Is it evil? Yeah, it can be. Can it also be a thing that brings lonely teenagers or lonely adults together in an analog hobby? We love those.
Yes.
That gets them using their brains, their imaginations, their math skills, their team building, skills. And in at least one person, their planning and leadership, organizational leadership skills can be developed through this. So it can be a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Approach it with care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Treat it carefully, but it can enrich people's lives. I've definitely seen it.
Have wisdom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so if Rachel is lawful neutral.
I'm lawful good.
Lawful good? Okay. Aaron,
I used to be shy about it. Now I'm not. And if a lawful good character thinks that D&D can be used appropriately, I don't know. Maybe it can.
Yeah. So I'm right now playing a 13-year-old druid. Which means I can change into animals.
Oh.
And I am, I don't know, we didn't like classify ourselves, but I think I'm probably, the character is probably sort of neutral good, maybe a little, not really chaotic good, probably neutral good is I think what she is. I'm Tanushka.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always wanted to make myself chaotic good, but I don't know if I know enough about what that actually means to actually be that kind of character. But when people explain it to me.
Some people have a gift for the chaos.
Mm-hmm. When it's explained to me, I'm like, oh, that would be fun. But But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Imagine a hyperactive child with poor impulse control, but a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could,
I could do,
do
that.
That. You could do it.
I wonder what happens if I do this.
Bit of a prankster, too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. I just want to, like, make people have fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I just have to play and find out.
Yeah. I would like to note, as part of this conversation, that my daughter who went to the youth gathering, there were actually several D&D themed sessions there, and she went to one. Like, that was her number one session that I want to go to.
Yeah.
And she said it was really good.
Ah.
So it D&D was at the youth gathering this year.
Yeah. So it's still a question.
Yeah. But that was, that session was intended, I think the one that she saw was intended to sort of highlight exactly what we've been talking about here. How that if you use it wisely and appropriately, that it can be a thing that builds character in your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I think that that was something I wasn't expecting to see, but it does sort of add a little bit of extra legitimacy. But also talking with kids about how to play responsibly is a good thing. If you just go, it's evil, don't play, and then they go to a session and they're like, but it's not evil, it's fun, and I'm making friends and I'm you know, using my brain, then it sort of contradicts that. But if you can acknowledge the complexity of the question and offer a nuanced answer, then I think that that is a little bit more productive way to do it.
Teaching discernment is very important, especially in teenagers. Not that I have teenagers, but you know, when you get to be an adult, you've got to know how to have discernment all over the place every single day.
Yeah.
So if you teach it young, I feel like that is a good thing.
The other thing that's really helpful, I think, is, and this is how we've always done it at our house, role-playing games take place, it's a tabletop game. It takes place around the table or maybe in the living room. And usually either my husband is playing or I'm, you know, a few steps away in the kitchen getting pizzas out of the oven. You know, that it's not something that in our house has ever been done in an unsupervised way. And I tend to try not to butt in. But if I'm hearing something from either my kids or from one of the kids who's playing, I'll be like, you know, sorry, child over there. Let's not do that. And I try to keep those moments minimal, but I think if you as a parent are nervous about this, easy peasy, just like, you know, your television, put it in the living room and then be sort of present in the background and ready to intervene if things go in an ungood direction. And knowing that all the people that we play with are Christians, all share our worldview, that it usually just requires a little bit of a nudge to be like, let's go in that direction. And they're all like, oh, yeah, of course. Sorry. You know, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Cool.
Does that answer your question, Aaron?
I think so. I think so.
Will it answer the question in the Facebook group?
We'll find out. Yeah.
We might have drama.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Roll for initiative. Let's go.
All right, ladies. It's time for you to answer this question also in our Facebook group and on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. Both of those places, we want to know if you love D&D, if you think it's evil, if you have experiences with it. We want to know the answer to this question from your brain.
Possibly the thorniest one we've ever talked about here.
Maybe.
Pretty close to it.
I didn't anticipate line drawing clothes to be as hot a topic as it turned out to be.
That's true. That so, line drawing clothes episode.
It's hard to say.
I heard about that one from so many people at LWML. It was excellent. I was so happy. They were like, I listened to that episode and I line draw my clothes and it was amazing. You are.
I'm lying drying my clothes right now, actually.
I have clothes hanging up in my basement as we speak.
And I'm heading out after we wrap this up to go play Dungeons & Dragons tonight.
There we go. Yes. So ladies, comment on our post on Facebook or on our posts on Instagram and let us know what you think. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm a level 3 bard, true neutral, and raised on the streets after my parents both died.
Of course you're an orphan. Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.